1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kamala Harris makes her big speech tonight as she accepts the Democratic Party's nomination for president. Her vice presidential nominee, Governor Tim Walz from Minnesota, introduced himself to the convention and talked a little about Project 2025 last night, a conservative plan to overhaul the federal government.
They spent a lot of time pretending they know nothing about this. But look, I coached high school football long enough to know, and trust me on this. When somebody takes the time to draw up a playbook, they're going to use it.
Word today that Robert Kennedy Jr. is preparing to drop out of the presidential race and throw his support behind Donald Trump. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky touring the northeastern region of Sumy today. It's his first visit to the border area since his troops pushed into Russian territory. A labor dispute halting all freight rail traffic throughout Canada. That could cause major economic disruptions here in the U.S. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells the DNC the Biden-Harris administration is reviving a once prosperous black neighborhood in Milwaukee called Bronzeville.
The music is coming back. The culture is coming back. And thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, the opportunities are coming back.
Bronzeville was literally split in two under so-called urban renewal policies in the 1960s. Now it's getting $37 million worth of bike and bus lanes, green space, and sewer upgrades. Oshkosh Defense says it just landed a $1.5 billion contract to build trucks for the Army. Oshkosh has been building them for years. It sells them to other countries too, like Israel and Ukraine. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WLCX The Eagle. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Six people, including three kids, are now recovering after a car crash in Monroe County. It happened Wednesday in the town of Byron. A driver in a Jeep went ahead when it wasn't his turn and ended up getting hit by a GMC Acadia. The driver of the Jeep was seriously hurt, and in the Acadia, the driver, a passenger, and three kids were seriously hurt too. There were two kids inside who were okay. Voters in Toma will be asked to approve a $177 million referendum for the school district. Schools need updates and renovations, sometimes even new buildings. District officials spent months talking with staff in the community about the best way to do that. They decided their best path forward is to build a new high school, turn the middle school into an elementary school, and renovate LaGrange Elementary. The school board president says this referendum will impact the Toma community for years to come. The election is November 5th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, and this is WLCX The Eagle.
The Cards clip the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a 6-4 lead heading into the bottom of the ninth, but Devin Williams allowed some walks. St. Louis able to send it into extra innings. The Cardinals loading up the bases in the bottom of the 10th. Nolan Arenado at the plate. Cover John Fox.
Arenado, deep left. Has he done it? Goodbye! Their backs against the wall. Their season virtually on the line. Some magic.
The final, the Cardinals 10, the Brewers 6. Game 3 today. NFL concerned for Packers running back A.J. Dillon, who's not practicing after suffering a neck stinger in last week's joint practice in Denver. Dillon had a neck stinger at the end of last season.
We want to be safe and smart. You only get one body, so, you know, thinking about how we can be out there and be as protected.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s for a low. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with a high near 80. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
It's It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is on vacation, but I, Greg Bach, am your host. I'm going to be joined by Todd Alba live in Chicago, as well as sports writer J.R. Radcliffe and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And boy, oh boy, the Democratic Convention and the list of speakers seems to be endless. I'm telling you honestly, I was at 3 days at the Republican Convention, and I listened to some of the speakers at the Republican convention, you know. And I'm telling you, there was just no comparison with how compelling the speakers from the Democratic Party, representing the Democratic Party, have been in what they were saying and representing than what, you know, the Republicans. I looked at a list of the speakers who spoke during the Republican convention, and you trot out the who's list of those for the Democratic Party. Last night, I was especially tuned in to Bill Clinton. Hadn't heard Bill Clinton speak in a long, long time. I can't remember the last time I heard Bill Clinton speak. You know, Bill Clinton has always been looked at as a great communicator. He certainly is showing some signs of, aging, as all of us are. But Bill Clinton on yesterday, in his conversation, in his folksy way, really said some things that that resonated with me. Bill Clinton was considered to be a centrist. And that's the way he presided as the president of the United States. He was a guy who went down the middle. And there were many people, you know, who were Democrats who did not support Bill Clinton in the way he governed. You know, Bill Clinton presided over some things that were really reprehensible, you know, to people who of color at times, and also, you know, his methods of locking people up and throwing away the key. And so Bill Clinton, even though he did some great things to balance the budget, which was a very difficult undertaking and bring America's sensibilities and her spending habits into control, he wasn't in high demand after he retired. But last night, he did away with the teleprompter, and he spoke from his heart. Our phone line's open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Your thoughts thus far on those speakers who have graced, you know, the podium over these last 3 days with the Democrats. Now, I interviewed a lot of people over the last several days, and Calvin is going to play some of those interviews. We're not going to get them all in today. We'll be playing them all through next week. But, I clearly would love to hear your thoughts on those speakers, Oprah Winfrey and others. I mean, these are people who are masterful and control the dialogue and what it is they have to say. They're compelling speakers. And so they're not done. Even tonight and all today, another strong list of, people who are going to be speaking at the convention on the last day of it. Today, 844-967-2789 is the number. I'll tell you, as the energy level, and let me be clear, because, I was, Calvin, I was part of the our news coverage at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock last night. I forgot what it's called for civic media. But anyway, I was a part of that last night, and so let's do this. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey first, and then I'll talk a little bit more about that. Hey, Brendan, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
I was so jealous of you last night when Sheila was kicking those drums and John Legend was doing the Prince song. That must have been incredible, but. I want to mention a couple of people that really set well with me. There was a young 12-year-old boy there, and I don't know if you've heard of him, but if you get a couple clips of him, you should definitely play him tomorrow. His name is Noah, and he was there interviewing people, and what a sharp young man he was, and how well-informed and well-educated he was. It was incredible. I think Buttigieg hit it out of the park, and the one thing that really struck me with ex-President Clinton's speech was the fact when he said, I know these people, and I know
yes.
that they think that if you don't live the life they want you to live and you don't allow them to do what they want to do, that, if you ever let them in office, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that really stuck with me. I think Buttigieg really did hit it out of the ballpark in his speech, because he's just a great speaker and a very intelligent guy. But if you get the clips on this kid Noah, you should definitely play him. He is one smart little guy. It was a really good.
We will. But Brendan, I'll tell you, I also when Bill Clinton said, "I know these people. They want to control the way this nation is run. They want to control. I mean, it's very compelling that he came out and talked about the inherent dangers of the other side of this equation. You know, I don't think that I've ever heard it presented from that perspective. He really did denote the dangers of a certain segment of this population and a certain group of people who clearly have something in mind for this nation that's not in the benefit of all of us. And that stuck out with me when Bill Clinton said that.
I think he got away from the teleprompter and really spoke from his heart and his mind. And you could see he had a little bit of the trembles going on. He's showing his age. But I was proud of him getting up there. And Bill, whenever Bill Clinton is there, I always remember how good a shape he left this country in. You know, he did some things that were questionable and weren't a good thing and left him open to some criticism. But how he ran the country and how he left us financially was excellent.
Well, so there's no question if Bill Clinton, was able to work the other side of the aisle, and he was masterful at that. And so he was able to get some things done because he was really, you know, he did a lot of compromising. You are right, the condition of the nation economically, no president was able to, cut the budget to the degree and balance the budget. And there hasn't been one, I think, since Bill Clinton, Democrat or Republican. So, yeah, he did some great things. And if you really just look at where we are now, man, how far away we are from that time, it is almost frightening. Because it really wasn't that long ago that Bill Clinton was the president. Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call, as always. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Listen. It's a pep rally. I'm not unmindful of that. That's what these things are. They are to fire up the base. They are to get us excited about getting out and working and doing what's necessary to bring the victory home. And they have done an absolutely masterful and spectacular job of this. I told you guys I was at the Republican convention as well. And I remember after that convention, the energy level and the excitement that the Republican Party had. And at that time, I remember saying to myself, the Democrats are in trouble. I don't see any way that they're going to, these were my precise words. I don't see any way that they're going to be able to overcome the energy level of what was taking place after that Republican convention. And, they have. They've surpassed it. And so, you know, can I say it's because the pep rally wore off, the energy of the pep rally wore off for the Republicans? You know, it's going to wear off for the Democrats as well. But the question becomes, as Michelle Obama said, what are you going to do? It's one thing to have this excitement, but what kind of work are you willing to put in? 844-967-2789 is the number. On the other side, we're going to hear from Christine Pelosi, the daughter of Nancy Pelosi, in an interview I had with her the other day at the Democratic Convention.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris
Congress has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As promised, this is an interview that I did, I think, a couple days ago with attorney Christine Pelosi, the daughter of Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Calvin, if you please.
So I'm honored and privileged to have an opportunity to speak to royalty. Nancy Pelosi's daughter. You know, you look just like her.
Well, that's very nice of you. I'm Christine. I'm a delegate. I live in San Francisco. I first met the future president when I was a student in law school, and she had just graduated from the same university. And we went on to practice law together in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, prosecuting people who harm children, sex assault crimes. And Kamala is just an amazing person, an amazing lawyer. And when she got there, people thought, oh, well, she might not be that good of a lawyer. And she went to trial, took them to school, beat a very famous attorney. And she only won the case. She went over the courtroom, and people understood this is a prosecutor for the people who does not miss.
So before we get too far down the road, can you separate truth from fiction when it comes to San Francisco being one of the worst places on the planet?
Well, it's one of the best places on the planet. Well, listen, I think that there is a code, right? San Francisco was gay, Chicago is black, New York is Jewish, right? Florida is seniors and old, right? So they use words as a code for something else for years and years and years. But the fact of the matter is people don't want that anymore. They're tired of that. And while we've had a terrible time with COVID, let's remember why. Because Donald Trump knew that it was an airborne virus, and he didn't tell us that, and his dilatory delays were deadly for people. It led to lockdowns. He took the virus. He did the work to help get a vaccine. He took the antiviral vaccine, but still had people be skeptical about it. And people are still coming back from a really tough time, emotionally, financially, socially. And so I think that's why the doom loop that they like to talk about in San Francisco or Chicago or New York, it's a code for Democrat, it's a code for liberal, but really, it should be a code for the way that we can try to work on our problems together. And that's what Kamala Harris is all about.
So are you, I mean, this is just kind of like an amazing thing. It's almost like being in Oz, that all of a sudden a female, a woman, not just any old woman, but a very, very very powerful woman in the past have come and not had the opportunity to do what we think Kamala Harris is going to get a chance to do. Hillary Clinton. a woman who is as prepared as any woman, really didn't get the chance to break the ceiling.
Well, she won the popular vote, and unfortunately that was not enough, but I think that she blazed a trail for Kamala Harris, and Hillary's speech last night was really bittersweet. I thought it was beautiful. It was also really painful to watch because it should have been her valedictory speech after two terms in the White House, but her full-throated support for Kamala Harris is a beautiful thing to see, and hopefully, given my cohort and Hillary's, white women, hopefully they will see that and say, you know what, we need to vote for our future, and we need to not hide behind what we think our privilege is that would save us from the horrific consequences of Donald Trump's presidency.
So as a dusty old 70-year-old man, it is amazing to me that we are finally at the precipice of something that I think none of us thought was going to be possible, not right now. This came out of nowhere. The energy, the excitement, the mobilization of women, the mobilization of young people who have now finally had enough of what happened in the past, and the future is at hand. Your thoughts about the excitement with those demographics?
I think that people are ready for change. We've been ready to write our own story for a while. And the polls were saying for a year that people just did not want to fight 2020 again. They didn't want to relitigate COVID. They didn't want to think about the past. They wanted to think about the future. And Republicans did not take that out on Donald Trump. They converged on him like they always do, but Democrats and independents and some Republicans were taking that out on Joe Biden. And he saw that and understood that the best thing he could do for America, after having beaten Donald Trump first time, the best thing that he could do would be to pass the torch to Kamala and let her organize that energy and that vigor into something special. So I think the energy's there. People are very excited, and kids that a month ago were like, I'm not sure I'm going to vote, are now signing up to volunteer. So that's a big difference.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask this last thing. Your mom and her relationship with President Biden for decades, as close a relationship as any two elected officials have had. How difficult was it for her to go to President Biden and say to him, Joe, it's time?
Well, I don't know what she said to him exactly, but she always told him it was his decision, and she always told him that, it would be important for the country that we defeat Donald Trump, and he had to do everything in his power to do that and make a decision about what that would be, either passing the torch or keeping the torch, but having a widening circle of people in the campaign and a level of aggressiveness in the campaign that would be future-oriented. And he looked at it and he made that decision. So we love Joe. We were out there watching him last night with such a sense of pride. And of course, it was Nancy Pelosi's speakership with the House Democrats that passed so much of that consequential legislation without one Republican vote. And in some cases, with maybe 13 Republican votes when it comes to the bipartisan infrastructure law. Sure, we'll still call it bipartisan. So I think that their friendship will endure. Their love for each other is undimmed. And, politics is hard. And for 20 years, 10 election cycles, people in Congress would, Nancy Pelosi would raise the money. They'd take the money and put on ads saying they were going to vote against her. Guess what? Her response? Just win, baby. And so that's what we got to do.
The apple certainly didn't fall far from the tree. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.
God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And best wishes to yours.
What an effervescent and powerful, powerful young lady who clearly, I think, is going to wind up following in the shoes of her mother. That is Attorney Christine Pelosi, the daughter of Nancy Pelosi. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Redistricting turned a lot of red legislative districts in Wisconsin purple. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says that's energizing Democrats in Green Bay, Wausau, Sheboygan, and the Milwaukee suburbs.
Places that were gerrymandered districts for over a decade, and the local communities are thrilled to have an opportunity to finally elect a representative who shares their values.
Democrats are working to cut into Republican majorities in the state assembly and Senate. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will weigh in on a case of a high school wrestling championship. The high court will decide if Hayden Halter's family can sue the referee whose unsportsmanlike conduct call might have suspended him for the state tournament. The Waterford High School star was reinstated and won the title. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WLCX The Eagle. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Department of Health Services is reminding parents of new vaccine requirements for this school year. New this year, students going into seventh grade need a meningitis vaccine, and incoming high school seniors need a meningococcal booster. You also used to be able to report that your child had chickenpox and that would excuse them from the vaccine, but now you need to get chickenpox diagnosed by a doctor to qualify for the exemption. And a group of veterans is making their way through La Crosse on a healing journey. Project Hero is a nonprofit dedicated to supporting veterans, disabled veterans, and first responders with PTSD. They're cycling 450 miles from St. Paul to Madison. Organizers of Project Hero say it gives them a sense of camaraderie, a mission, and a huge sense of accomplishment. They ride 60 to 90 miles every day. They got to La Crosse last night. Today, they'll ride to Reedsburg. Then they'll make their way to Madison tomorrow and celebrate together Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is WLCX The Eagle.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You can track the trajectory for my addiction if you gauge my weight from season to season. Those are the words of Matthew Perry from his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Perry says when he was carrying weight, he was drinking, and when he was skinny, it was pills. And when he had a goatee, it was lots of pills. According to the New York Post, series producers Marta Kaufman and David Crane spoke to the Times of London about their process when they learned of Perry's addiction to drugs and alcohol. Crane said they asked Perry if he wanted to leave the show to deal with his substance issues, to which Perry replied, "No, this is really important to me." Perry said in his book that he estimates he spent roughly $9 million in an attempt to become sober. The late star also said that season 9 of Friends was the only season of the show he was fully sober for. Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October 23 from a ketamine overdose. His live-in assistant has recently been charged, along with four others, in connection to Perry's death. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s for a low. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with a high near 80. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean,
at your
it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated already. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we replay an interview with one of our favorite comedians, Pat McGann. And I welcome one of the most prolific actors in Hollywood, Wisconsin native Richard Reilly, who has over 400 movie credits.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm going to go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Thank you for taking my call, as always. What a beautiful morning. And quite frankly, what a great evening last night. I watched just about every minute of the convention, and my wife and I were looking at each other often throughout the presentation as, boy, is this cool. We were blown away, honestly. And I thought to myself, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. This is what it felt like a long time ago, you know, instead of this divide and conquer, hatred, grievance nonsense. Yes, we can do these things, you know. And also it reminded me that it was Bill Clinton that not only did he have one balanced budget and pay down on a deficit, not two, not three, but I believe it was 5 years. He had a positive budget. And then I thought to myself, you know, gosh, we had such a great opportunity, you know, that we're putting our economic suit on, you know, making the changes. And then, you know, the nonstop whitewater witch hunt of Kenneth Starr, that where the right wingers started going down one trail of a real estate deal gone bad. And it devolved into Monica Lewinsky after 7 years of putting our country through it. And, it, you know, so all these memories start popping back, and I'm going, my God, what we saw there during the Clinton administration is this political dysfunction get jacked up by Newt Gingrich. And, again, you know, did our nation have to go through Monica Lewinsky? I don't think so. So, you know, the last thing I wanted to say is probably the neatest moment I've ever seen in this kind of, you know, forum, political function. When I saw Walz's son just spring out of his chair with tears in his eyes and say, "That's my dad. That's my dad up there." And I don't know, it was probably the most warm, wonderful feeling I've felt watching a political event of any kind. And,
do you know, Mike, that I listened to conservative talk this morning, and they said it showed how weak and just kind of wimpy this young man was, and how, and he didn't show any testosterone. I mean, how can, it just goes to show, you know, what you're up against. A young man showed who he is, his, what he feels about his father, and the Republicans, you know, look at that as being weak, and he's, you know, kind of sissified is basically the verbiage that they use.
Yeah, well, and what you saw is a young man who's comfortable, the whole family, comfortable in their own skin, where they don't care. They're not trying to hide who they are. There's nothing wrong with being authentic and real. Matter of fact, you know, I try to wear that as a badge of honor. It's not a weakness. It's a strength, crying out loud. And that in itself, Earl, I think, exemplifies the differences between these two groups. It's really in the heart and spirit. And I think what you just conveyed illustrates that clearly for everybody to see.
Hey, no question, Mike. Thank you very much for the call, as always. Always good stuff. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Earl. You're a celebrity. The conventions are amazing, aren't they? I had the privilege to be at the Republican convention. But, you know, listening to all this, and, yeah, the pageantry was spectacular, Oprah, all that, but it does nothing to change the policies that Kamala has championed for 30 years. She's going to have to flip-flop on so many things. So you're trying to rewrite or reinvent her, the Democrat Party is, And we're going to watch her flip-flop on most issues because we know that, and they know that America doesn't want a lot of those policies. You know, you speak of Bill Clinton, there was a surplus because he had to work with Newt Gingrich and John Kasich because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And I heard RFJK is going to endorse Donald J. Trump. God bless him.
CJ. Who?
Democrat.
Who?
That's scary.
No, no. So, who was the person you're talking about?
Reinvent her.
No, man. Hey, man. Hey, man, you're celebrating Robert F. Kennedy as if Robert F. Kennedy has some type of, you know, substance that is going to catapult the Republicans and Donald Trump, man. He doesn't have any substance. He doesn't have any tremendous number of followers. But that just goes to show just how bad things have gotten. You got to find, you know, something to be excited about. So you bring up Robert F. Kennedy. Who? Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, good morning. Robert F. Kennedy's coming over to you. He's going to support Donald Trump in there. That's good. Is he going to be a game changer, Tom?
Well, first off, no. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we are the ones that will choose. And the thing is, I'm a joyful democracy warrior. I'd really like to invite people like Gary and CJ and Dave to actually come along and you know, look at the world as a little bit more glass half full rather than half empty. The thing I really, really loved is, one, we have a very deep bench on the Democratic side and on the progressive side, and that's very exciting for our future. Second, Bill Clinton, masterful as always, when he brought up, and he said, I checked it three different times, and he said, 50 million jobs created by the Democrats versus 1 million jobs created by the Republicans.
Now, hey, Tom, repeat that because he absolutely said that and he checked it all those times, which means all of us can go and check that. So go ahead, Tom.
Exactly. 50 million jobs versus 1 million jobs. And as he said, I think 50-1 means that we're winning on the Democratic side. Also, I thought one thing he really said, and I hope everyone really listens to what he said, is how many times Donald Trump says the word I, or me, as Bill Clinton was trying to say before he came out on the stage. But how many times he says the word I compared to we? Again, I keep saying it, we the people ultimately are the government. I keep on saying that we need to get money out of politics because I think that is what has destroyed our democracy. But we have a real opportunity here. And I don't know what the hell CJ is talking about because Kamala Harris was our senator here in California. And she was very, very successful. And she has not changed her mind on any of the stuff that she voted for in the past. So stop with your flip-flopping, trying to make her seem like she's someone that she isn't. She is the person that she is. And the thing is, she is going to vote. She's going to vote for things like making sure that kids don't go hungry, for school, like Tim Walz talks about. She's going to probably adopt some of Tim Walz's policies. And if you think that those policies are something that is mean, I don't know where you come from.
So Tom, Tim Walz, what were your thoughts on him last night?
Well, my thoughts on him is honestly reminded me a little bit of my dad, because my dad was a head football coach for 30 years in Durand, Wisconsin, and he was a football coach for 10 years in Plum City, Wisconsin. And it reminded me of the fact that, you know, all my brothers and sisters are teachers in Wisconsin, and their spouses were teachers in Wisconsin. And it makes me sad that Scott Walker totally tore the public education system down, but I think that this is a real boost to the public education. And I'll tell you what, if these guys start messing with Tim Walz's son for whatever, because apparently he has a small disability, but also just the love, if you cannot see that, then again, you're not human. And I'll tell you what, I dare you, Republicans, to start talking negative about his son.
Tom, they already have. I was listening to conservative talk this morning, and they were condemning his son for being weak, and talking about his father. There is, and Mike from Kenosha pointed it out, there's such a dichotomy and contrast between the people who on the other side of things and those people who, unfortunately, like some of these Republicans and hosts and others, who think we have to be hateful and evil. And so we've got to show that these people are weak. Often I get calls from people who say that I'm doing that and portraying Republicans as that. I don't. And if I do, that's not what I'm attempting to do. But clearly Republicans think that it is, there's something to be gained by talking about his son in that manner. And so they'll pay a price for that.
Dare them to continue to do it, and I hope they continue to do it, because they're going to end up with no votes. I mean, I'm telling you, anyone that lives in Wisconsin, that grew up in a small town like I did of 2000, whether it's in Franklin, whether it's in where it is, we all had football coaches. And we all had, my God, we're the Green Bay Packers. You know, that's what the Badgers, that's what we're about.
Hey Tom, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. We're going to do an interview on the other side from Attorney General Josh Call that clearly is going to point out the difference between what Republicans are saying about crime and what the truth really is on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. As promised, my interview with the State Attorney General, Josh Call, on a couple days ago at the Democratic Convention. All right, the one and only Josh Call. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing?
It's always good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, yes. Good to see you, too.
So let me ask you. I can't help but hear all these negative statistics from the Republican Party about crime in the city of Milwaukee, crime in the state of Wisconsin, crime across the earth. You know, and it's the worst thing in the world. You should be afraid because people are coming to get you. They're coming up from Texas. They're coming up from Arizona, and they're going to get you. How much of that is fiction?
Well, let me start with this. As Attorney General, I spend a lot of time thinking about public safety and how we keep communities in Wisconsin and families in Wisconsin and schools in Wisconsin safe. I'm a former federal prosecutor. So this is something that's really important to me personally and to the work that I do. And let's start with just where the two campaigns are coming from. On the one hand, you've got Kamala Harris's campaign. She's a former AG of the biggest state in the country. She was the DA in a huge jurisdiction where she put dangerous criminals behind bars. And on the other hand, you've got this ticket, and I don't know if you heard J.D. Vance's remarks in Milwaukee recently, where as he was talking about public safety, he was citing the movie The Gangs of New York. So on the one hand, you've got a former prosecutor, and on the other hand, you've got one guy who's seen Gangs of New York and another guy who's seen Silence of the Lambs. That's the difference in this race. You know, it's not a surprise that the Harris-Walz ticket is much stronger on public safety. Joe Biden talks about how he doesn't want to hear what you believe. He wants to see your budget. And we have seen with Harris-Walz investment in public safety in a lot of different ways, everything from community policing to strengthening federal agencies like the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI. With Donald Trump and Republicans, we've seen attacks on those agencies. Trump attacks the FBI and DOJ all the time. And the reality on the statistics was that when Trump was president, shootings and homicides spiked dramatically. With Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, there's been a historic drop. Now, the pandemic, of course, played a role in that, but the statistics also speak for themselves.
You know, when you constantly hear people talk about the less and less dollars going to law enforcement, I don't know whether that's the case or not. I don't ever recall, especially in the state of Wisconsin, where we've done such a horrible job of funding law enforcement. How much of that is true?
Well, when it comes to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they have supported public safety holistically, including law enforcement. That means investing in the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI. And look, everybody wants to live in a safe community. Nobody's going to tell you they don't want to live in a safe community. And nobody should have to live in an unsafe community. We need to keep all our communities safe, and that means having a holistic approach. Where we've seen attacks on community safety is from Trump and from Republicans who've been cutting those budgets and leading to reductions in effort from FBI and from USDOJ.
So let me ask you this last thing. So when we talk about crime and people say lock people up, is that always the solution? Can we end crime by locking every person up without addressing the fact that there's some other things we can do?
You've got to have a holistic approach. And one thing that is really important to bear in mind as you're thinking about this is almost everybody who goes into jail or prison in Wisconsin is going to come out. That's exactly right. And so when you've got people who are going into the system because they're struggling with a mental health issue or substance use disorder, addressing that underlying root cause through programs like treatment programs or mental health programs, that can make our communities much safer in the long run than simply putting somebody in jail, not addressing the underlying issue, and having them return to the community in all likelihood to reoffend. Now, there are violent crimes. There are people who've committed serious offenses. And of course, we need to make sure that the community is protected from those folks. And incarceration is one of the ways we do that. But we've got to take case by case and assess the situation and make sure we're doing what's best for public safety. And that means taking a full view of issues. It also means investing in our communities to give people an opportunity to succeed and to do the right thing, whether it's by getting the help they need through treatment and other programs, or by ensuring that people have access to jobs so they can get gainful employment.
So rehabilitation, which used to be a staple when people were locked up and those kind of things, does that still exist? Do we need to spend more time and effort and energy and money in rehabilitating people while they're incarcerated?
You know, I think we've seen a big shift over time. For a while, it was trendy to talk about just locking people up and throwing away the keys. And we saw in Wisconsin a huge amount of money spent on our prison system in Wisconsin. We're seeing some of the consequences of that right now. And again, if somebody is dangerous to the public safety of our communities and to others, you know, prison is the appropriate response. On the other hand, when we can invest in rehabilitation, that's really valuable. So one of the things we've done since I've been AG is work to hold big pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in the opioid epidemic. It's important to hold them accountable, period, but it's also important to bring dollars into the state. And we have put those resources, the Department of Health Services has, into things that help rehabilitate people, including supporting treatment programs in jails in Wisconsin so that somebody struggling with substance use disorder, they're more likely to come out with having that issue addressed and not just being likely to reoffend because the issue's untreated.
So what about criminals are getting younger and younger? And young people are creating crimes that are more and more adult. How do you handle that?
We've got to make sure a couple things. First, we've got to make sure that we have positive interventions with kids, that we're keeping kids safe in schools and in our communities. And with the pandemic, when a lot of kids got cut off from social interaction and programs, I think that had some negative impacts. But one of the things we do at DOJ is run the Office of School Safety. And that office works to take contacts from students about safety concerns that they have in our communities. And what we've seen and what the data shows is that when you can intervene early, when a kid is struggling, you're a lot likely to get them to avoid a path that could lead to violence or criminal activity. So making sure we're supporting our kids, we've got strong schools, we've got good systems in place to lift families up, that can make a huge difference in keeping communities safe.
It's always great to see you, Attorney General.
Good to see you, too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Appreciate it. You as well. All right. That's a wrap. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach on Matinere on Air. I'll be back in Waukesha Studios on tomorrow. Enjoy the weather.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trick V. Olsen and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on